Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Andrew Hart. I'm your host for this morning. Would there be any first-time callers joining us this morning at this hour? If so, we would love to hear your name. If there be none, we will continue with the protocol. There are no Declare Victory events this morning, so we will go directly to the online prayer requests. And they are as follows. Arlen Bubbly asks prayer for Antoine Claude and family. They're going through a bereavement period over their mother's passing. Bubbly is asking us to pray for peace that can only come from God. We're in agreement with her on that. She's also requesting prayer for Nikki Jackson. Nikki is currently seeking employment, and we're asking God to open up opportunities for her without delay. God has the power to do so, amen. Tracy Lawrence Gardner, requesting prayer for herself. She's asking us to lift her and intercede on her behalf now through December 3rd, when she has a court date. And she's trusting God as we are for her. And the last request. I'm sorry. Having some technical difficulties. Diane Templeton is requesting prayer for Loretta Grant and Raymond Grant. Loretta had a stroke, and it's not sure if it happened during the brain surgery that she was undergoing or if this is something else that's causing it or if this is a reason that she can't speak at this time. She's asking that we pray for her speech to be restored and for her complete healing. We're also lifting Raymond up, that his confidence in God be fully restored, and that he be fully in control of his situation. Finally, Deborah Evans is asking prayer for Monica Evans. She's asking us to pray that Monica get over her cold before her CD release this Saturday. Amen. Those are the prayer requests that we need to take before the throne. The order of the call this morning is as follows. The declaration, I will be rendering scripture, declaration rendered by Marcus, and he will also be the first prayer warrior. Brother Jeff will be following Marcus, Brother Tim will be following Brother Jeff, and Dion this morning is closing us out. That order, one more time, I will be rendering scripture, Marcus will be bringing the declaration and the first prayer intercession. Jeff will follow Marcus, Jim will follow Jeff, and Dion will be our anchor. Now as we turn our hearts towards the throne room, where we bring the sacrifice of praise, we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 2. Word of the Lord reads as follows. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts have to the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? who is like thee in glorious and holiness, fearful and trembling wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth is swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. I read for your hearing Exodus chapter 15, verses 2 through 13. May the Lord truly bless the reading, hearing, and understanding and doing of this holy word as I pass the call to Brother Marcus.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for the scripture and for hosting the call. And good morning, everyone. And we are grateful. I'm glad to be on the call again, and I'm glad to hear everyone's voices. Can everyone hear me? Am I okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. I'm going to ask everyone to please remember to mute your line, either using the standard mute feature or to press star 6, so that we can continue this call and everyone can hear the call, hear the declaration, hear the prayers. And we will give you a moment at the end of the prayers where we can take our phones off mute to join in collectively in the prayer. And I know I didn't have to repeat that, but it's okay, you know, sometimes to have a reminder. I know we have been talking about darkness for the past couple of weeks. We started off this month with darkness. We were talking about what darkness is. We were discussing some attributes of darkness and characteristics of, you know, what things happen in darkness. Just to kind of recap a little bit, we talked about that darkness is the absence of light. I also brought out about a book by Dr. James Fent called Breaking Chains of Darkness. Someone please mute your line. I hear background noise. Thank you. Dr. James Fent writes, an individual must be honest with himself and with God if he expects to receive anything. And so we were talking about just the simple things about darkness in our first week. Our second week, we talked about the valley of the shadow of death, which was last week. And we discussed how that it's important not to focus on the shadow. It's important to understand that when we're going through things and experiencing darkness, sometimes it's because the thing, there is something blocking the light, blocking your ability to see. We also talked about the shadow is longest in the early morning and late afternoon. Just a few highlights. And then this week, as I was preparing to do the declaration, I really was trying to figure out how to continue this discussion of darkness. I knew God would do it. I knew God would give me something. I just wasn't sure how to bring it to pass. But the thing about it is I trusted God. I knew that he would grant me something. And it's amazing. Other people who do the declaration can relate to this, that sometimes nothing comes to you until like the midnight hour. I'm learning that so much. I'm not rambling. I'm actually, what I'm saying now is actually walking into what I'm getting ready to say. I just want to give you a preface to what I'm about to do. It's amazing how God will give you something in the midnight hour. Like, I'm learning lately that often God will not speak until the actual moment of whatever it is we're challenged with. And I believe that God is growing me and helping me to learn how to be patient and know that he's still going to be in control. He's still going to do what he said he will do. And even if I haven't heard him say anything that he'll do, I need to trust that he's going to do something, because he's God like that. And he won't just leave me on the side of the road like some friends have left me. And like, you know, like other people have done, like, you know, people who are usually in your corner when you're winning, but when it seems like you're losing, you can barely find them anywhere. You try to call them, and the call goes to voicemail. But it's wonderful that, as I heard Kirk Franklin say the other day, that he knows when our hotline blings. I'm sorry, I had to make a hip-hop reference. That's a hip-hop song by Drake, for those of you who don't know. And I'm not a sinner, but I used to be one. And I'm aware of what's going on around me. Songs like that, sometimes it's good to stay plugged into the outside world so you can minister to those that are there. Okay. What I was saying was, he knows when that hotline blinks. He knows when we're calling. He knows when it's us, and he picks up, you know. So that's basically what I'm saying. Here it is. So we ought not get discouraged when it seems like we're losing. So for the past several years, I've been a very avid sports fan. I love my San Francisco 49ers. I bleed orange and black for my San Francisco Giants. I go wild and crazy for my amazing Golden State Warriors. And most of us know that last year they managed to make it all the way to the NBA Finals and win the championship. Now, what's amazing about that is this is a feat that they haven't accomplished in like 40 years, since 1975. So this new season they're on is a path to win it all again. And it's pretty exciting to see them play right now as they're on their way to the championship. So one thing, though, every time I watch the games, it's really dark and dim looking for those of you who watch. For those of you who don't, let me try to paint the picture for you. They're playing, and they seem to be missing shots and playing bad defense, not going after rebounds, and simply put, not really looking like an NBA championship team. And when you watch the games, it makes you nervous. Well, it makes my mom nervous. Sorry, Mom. I love you, though. So as we're watching the game, I noticed that it's really funny to me. It's funny to me to see my mom. She's so passionate about the games, and we're watching a game, and it seems like they're missing shots. You're like, forget this. I'm not watching this anymore. I can't. I just can't. And then they start winning, and she's like, oh, let's go. We got this. It's awesome. It's hilarious. But you know what? As I watch her, and as I see our interactions with the game and what it's looking like, it reminds me of us. It reminds me of us as Christians and us as people of faith. Mom and I are really going back and forth, pacing the floor and yelling at the TV screen, hoping that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bogut, and the rest of the team will listen to what we are yelling at them, like we could really coach the team. Yeah, right. But we sure do attempt to coach from the other side of the screen. I mean, who can help it, though? I mean, their games make some of us so nervous. Anyway, so the last three games I've watched have all been like nail biters. So the Warriors, let me give you a picture. The Warriors played the Brooklyn Nets Saturday, November 14th, and as I was watching this game, like quarter by quarter, you could see the Nets appear as though they would break the Warriors' winning streak of 10-0. Like they, you know, that day they were 10-0. They won 10 games and never lost one. And it wasn't until the fourth quarter they came back and secured the win. That's nervous. That's nerve-wracking, right? The next game was Tuesday, November 17th, against the Toronto Raptors. Same situation with this game. It really looked dim right up until the end of the game. And something about this game last night really spooked me, though. So the Clippers at one point had like a 23-point lead, and the Warriors slowly closed the gap. But by the middle of the third quarter, the score was like 54-68 with the Clippers in the lead. And so most people are like, oh, man, they are killing the Warriors. They are not going to win, right? They were shooting back and forth and making three-point shots and dunking. This is the Clippers, I'm saying. They were, like, killing, right? finally, right at the midnight hour of the game, they caught up and passed the Clippers and earned the win, holding on to their winning streak, and are now today still undefeated at 13-0. Ain't that awesome? I'm learning so much just watching their games and following their journey as I'm on a journey myself. And many of you are on a journey as well. We're walking through the valley. And as we walk through the valley, there are a few things we must keep in mind that I think that the Warriors will want us to pay attention to. You ready for this? All right, get your pen and notebook ready, because I got like a few points I want you to write down and take notes, because I think the Honorable Bishop Steph Curry would say a few of these things to us. Yes, I said it. Yes, the Honorable Bishop Steph Curry and the Reverend Draymond Green and the Right Minister Harrison Barnes. I think they would preach a sermon to us called Warring in the Dark. Are you ready for this? They're going to preach to us right now. They're going to preach. Come on, preach, Bishop. All right, here we go. Here we go. First point, don't quit the game. Don't quit the game. Preach, Bishop, preach. Don't quit the game. Don't quit the game. Tell somebody, tell your neighbor, touch your neighbor. Tell them, don't quit the game. Oh, you ain't got no neighbors next to you. Okay, touch yourself. Tell yourself, don't quit the game. Don't quit the game. No matter how tough it gets, how many shadows you see, how dark and dim it may be, you never, ever quit the game. One thing I noticed through their games is that even when they're in a low point deficit, looking like the game is impossible to win, check this out, they never stop playing hard. That's crazy, huh? And quitting the game doesn't necessarily mean walking off the court. Woo, preach, Bishop! Steph Curry is preaching today. Quitting the game doesn't mean walking off the court. Right. So quitting the game can also mean you're in it and just not playing your best. You're just walking from one side of the court to the other. You're just going to work because you work there. You're just at home because you live there. You're just there. You're not in it and aware of what you're doing. You're not present. When you're still in the game, show up with your game face on. Show up and play hard. Preach, Bishop Curry, come on. Warring in the dark. Tell somebody warring in the dark. Warring in the dark. So don't quit the game. Tell yourself, don't quit the game. Don't quit the game. All right, here's our second point. Don't let the enemy get to your mind. This man is preaching today. Don't let the enemy get to your mind. Wow. Now, half the battle is not letting your opponent mess with your head. Good God. Sometimes your opponent talks mess while on the court. Mm-hmm. He does. You hear him. We don't hear all the stuff that the athletes are saying to each other on the court. All we hear is, you know, the reporters, they talking, and, oh, yes, look at his form, and that was another foul, and there, you know, oh, that was a great three. But we don't hear what the players are saying to each other. Y'all ain't going to win this time. Y'all, we're going to take y'all out. Y'all going to be defeated this time, right? We don't hear all that. If we did, we would hear all kinds of strategies and actually work. We would hear strategies and stuff that they say to each other actually work to help defeat the other team. Check this out. This is what Bishop Curry is saying to us. Most of it is in your head. Yeah. If you can defeat the enemy in your mind, then you can whip him on the court. Trust that. He's after your mind. He wants you to think you've lost, because as you think, so will you play. If you think it's a losing battle for you, you will play like it's a losing battle for you. You have to renew and refresh your mind while you're on the court. Repeat to yourself that you are a champion. I love the statement, stop telling God about your troubles and start telling your troubles about your God. God is waiting for us to take our victory. He's waiting for us to claim it, demand it, and not settle for anything less than a win. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. I used to think that statement was really insensitive when people would say that. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you're going through. No, I'm sorry. That was an inside joke. It doesn't matter what you're going through or what you're experiencing. it's not an insensitive statement. It's actually giving you some wherewithal. It's telling you grow some strength here. Get yourself together. You know, slap yourself and get it together and get your mind right. And remember that, you know, God is not leaving you on the court to just play by yourself. He never would do that. But you can't let him get to your mind, because if he gets to your mind, then you've already lost the battle. Yeah. All right. Come on, Bishop. We got to bring this to a close. We got a couple more minutes here. We don't want to go over the time now. All right. All right. Come on, Bishop Curry. All right. We warned in the dark. We said, number one, don't quit the game. Number two, don't let the enemy get to your mind. All right. I know you got one more point, because usually when preachers preaching, they do one, two, three. Uh-huh. So here, where's your last point, Bishop? All right. Here it is. Listen to the coach. Preach, Bishop. My God, today. As I was watching the game last night, they came back from a commercial. The game was in the last quarter, and the Warriors were behind like 1 point. They were on a timeout. Check this out. They were on a timeout. Excuse me. The coach wasn't talking plays and things to specifically do in the game. So he wasn't saying stuff like, hey, okay, so I want you to make sure you post up over here. You're gonna pass to Curry, and you're going to pass to Draymond. And Draymond, I want you to run and screen for Barnes, and Barnes is going to take it. He's going to pass it to Bogut, and Bogut is going to assist and make sure that Curry gets a dunk in at right on time. And then we're going to make sure he gets a three over here. He wasn't saying stuff like that. He wasn't giving him strategy. That's interesting. Maybe that's most of our problems, that we're looking for God to give us strategies, looking for God to tell us exactly what to do. That's not how it works. So we come back for commercial, and they're on timeout. And you know what he was saying? He was saying things like this, and I kid you not, this is not made up. The coach, Steve Kerr, he was saying stuff like this. Let's take this game back. Let's win it. This game is ours. We can do this. We've got this. And I was watching that, and I was like almost teared up because I heard him talking to me. He was speaking faith to the team, refilling them with hope so they can go back out on the court with some strength. Timeouts are so good to have, people of God. Very needed, especially when you find yourself discouraged and a little hopeless. It doesn't take much to take a timeout. Just find the time to do it. You could easily just decide what things you could choose to not do. Where do you have extra time that you're using to fill your schedule with more stuff? Fill it with a timeout. Time out doing nothing but resting, or going out to a restaurant, or going to the movies, or driving to the beach, or catching a bus instead of driving so you can focus your attention elsewhere. We have got to have a winner's mindset when we are in the valley of the shadow of death, or we won't be able to hear the coach. See, the coach wants to talk to us, but we're so busy doing stuff. Yeah, that's us. All right. So, Bishop, go ahead, take your seat. We're gonna move the car, and we'll bring you back during the discussion, because I know you got some stuff to say, Bishop. My God, you was preaching today. We're gonna continue this warring in the dark discussion later on in the call, and we're gonna Bishop Curry said he'll stay with us for a little while, but let me start the prayer now, and then we'll. If you stay with us, I promise you're going to be blessed. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for the valley of the shadow of death. We thank you, Lord, for how you blessed us this morning to wake up and see this day. We thank you, God, that today, this morning, this time, at 6:36 a.m. on November the 20th, 2015, this is somebody's day of victory. This is somebody's day of showing up victory. I'm not talking about some victory we just been talking about and hoping for. I'm talking about show enough, without a doubt, super duper extra crispy victory today. And so God, our Father, our Pops, you got us. We know you do, and we trust you, and we love you, and we know that you've always had our backs, and that if you did it before, God, you can do it again. And so whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that we're experiencing in our lives, we trust God that you have it and you know exactly what's going to happen. We just need to sit back and trust you. We need to sit back and comfort ourselves in your arms and know that everything will be fine, that no matter what it is that we're facing, whatever, you know, court problems we're dealing with and whatever health issues we're dealing with, death in the families and sicknesses and, marital problems, single issues, problems with our children, problems with our siblings, and some of us haven't spoken to siblings and family members in years, and we're having issues because we know that the holidays are coming up, and we're trying to, prepare ourselves for when they come around again, and how we're going to adjust our attitude so we don't have to fight and go crazy during the holidays. But God, help us, Lord. Help us, God. Help this to be a different day. Help this to be a different holiday this time. It's going to be different than the last. It's going to be different because you're going to give us the strength to go through it. You're going to give us the strength to make it. You're going to give us the strength to be the great people that you called us to be, that you planted us to be. Oh, God, you put so much in us. Your Holy Spirit is in us. And so we trust, God, that you are in control and that you know all and that you see all and that you have it all. So everything we need to come to you. We need to ask you. And so we come to you now, and we adore you, we love you, and we worship you. We confess that we haven't always been right before you. And so, Lord, sometimes we've even destroyed our own victory by using our mouth the wrong way and saying the wrong stuff. And so, Lord, forgive us for sabotaging our own success. Forgive us, Lord, for defeating ourselves with the mess that comes out of our mouth. And so, Lord, we confess that we've done that, and we thank you, God, for having mercy upon us. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you, God, for not giving us what we really deserve, and that's defeat, not allowing the enemy to overtake us. Thank you, Lord. So we ask, God, that you help us to continue in that vein. Help us to surrender to you completely. And we thank you. Amen. As I pass the call.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for another day. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the declaration this morning, Lord God. Reminding us, Lord God, that, hallelujah, you are the coach of our lives, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the reminder, Lord God, that we are winners. Oh, thank you, Lord God. And that we will not quit, Lord God. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for our blessed Savior, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord God. And that we could depend on you, Lord God, in that midnight hour, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. In those valley lows, oh, thank you, that you are our protector, Lord. And that you are guiding us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that we're in the game, Lord God, and that we're on the team, Lord God. We're on the winning team, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that we sin less. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, that we sin less. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we're not easily, oh, Jesus, that we overcome. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we're growing more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. We have so much, Lord God, to be thankful for. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we have many prayer requests this morning, Lord God. Lord God, our basket is overflowing this morning, Lord God, with prayers, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. So, Lord God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we know, Lord God, that you see all, Lord God, and that you are aware of every situation, Lord God, of every prayer request, Lord God. So, Lord God, as we lift up this basket of prayers, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for your will, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the power of belief, Lord God. Believing, Lord God, that you would honor our prayers, Lord God, and answer the prayers, Lord God, according to your will, Lord God. So, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for the answering of those prayers, Lord. Lord God, we hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we are winners. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are winners, Lord God, and we know it, Lord God. We embrace, oh, hallelujah, the victory, Lord God. Lord God, it is your word, Lord God, that lives down inside of us, Lord God, that, hallelujah, brightens up the path, hallelujah, that brightens up the pathway, Lord God, for us to take, for us to follow, Lord God, the game plan, Lord God, your word. Oh, thank you, Lord. So, Lord God, as we continue, Lord God, to seek your face, Lord God, and follow, hallelujah, the direction, the game plan, hallelujah. We continue to pray for love, Lord God, and pray for the children, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for the mind of our young teenagers, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, touch the hearts and the minds, Lord God, of our teenagers, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God, from themselves, Lord God, and from their immature states, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God, hallelujah, as they live life fearless, Lord God. Able to jump off the top of the building and without breaking a bone, Lord God, because they don't have the mind to be afraid. A jumping. Lord God, protect our young adults, Lord God, while they're out in the middle of the streets, Lord, spinning their cars around. Jesus! Lord God, I pray your protection, Lord God, over our children, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be patient with them, Lord God. Ah, thank you, Lord God. And wait on them, Lord God, to grow up, Lord God. Help us to continue to love them, Lord God, and give them the godly guidance, Lord God. Lord God, we know that you are our protector, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that you watch over our young children, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God, while they're at their sideshows, Lord God, doing what young people do, Lord God. So many of them are being mangled and oh, hallelujah, being lives being taken, Lord God, because of their behavior, Lord God, the youth, Lord God. Lord God, we honor you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the answering of our prayers. In Jesus' name, I pray, as our pastor calls.
All holy and all wise.
Hello?
God.
Hello? Can somebody hear me?
Hello? Yes, we can hear you.
We hear you, Tim.
Oh, okay. Okay. I dropped the call. I'm going in and out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now thanking you, God, for another day, Lord. This is a brand new day, Lord, a day that you have made. Your word says we should rejoice in this day, God, and we thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Lord, well, there are so many, Lord, to praise you on today, Lord God, with their lips. And we thank you. We thank you. I pray, God, that we will continue to be excited on something no one else has ever done. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to come down, Lord, to save us from the horror of sin, Lord God. And we thank you for that, God. We're so grateful. We adore you on this morning, Lord God. We thank you, God. I thank you, God, for all the people that are on this, Lord, that have an opportunity to listen to your saints praise you, Lord, give you glory and honor, Lord, and request that we request, we're able to request from you, Lord, the things that we need and the our hearts desire. And we thank you for being a wonderful God. We thank you, God, for all the things that you've done in our lives, Lord. You have encouraged us. You have lifted our heads. You have brought us into of love. Lord, we thank you that your saints are gathered together this morning, Lord. Words is it when two or more are gathered in your name that you are in the midst, and we welcome you, God. We welcome you into this place, Lord. All that has been
Your phone is breaking up, Tim. Hallelujah. And so, God, we just continue in that vein saying, thank you, Lord, for this day. God, I thank you for every man represented on the call this morning. God, I thank you for their hearts. God, I thank you for that declaration, God. Thank you for what you're doing and how that you're doing it, oh, God. Thank you that you are preparing us to win, Lord God. Thank you for the game. Thank you, Lord God, for every play, God, for every layup, God, for every two-pointer, every three-pointer, God. Thank you for every field goal. God, we thank you for every opportunity. Not only to play the game, Lord God, but that you've given us instructions. God, we thank you for the moments of being refereed in life, Lord God, where the people who we love, God, the people who we respect and revere, Lord God, tell us, stay on the inside. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we have people in our lives that can remind us that if we have no opponent, there is no opportunity to win. God, I thank you that even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the word declares that you will lift up a standard against him. Lord God, I thank you for our training time, Lord God. I thank you for the laps that we must run in order to obtain the prize. God, I thank you for the multiplicity, Lord God, the complexity of the rules of the game that intrigue us, Lord God, that enlighten us, God, that empower us not only to win the game, Lord God, but to win championship after championship, Lord God. When the enemy comes in and we stand firm on our foundation, God, that's a ring. God, when the devil tells us we can't and you show us that we can, God, that's the ring. When our children are lost and confused and we have the mind and the wherewithal to employ prayer, God, that's the ring. Lord God, that when anything happens in our life that's contrary to what your word says, God, I thank you that we have the wherewithal. We have the manual. We have the handbook. We have the rules in place to engage in the game. Lord God, not only to engage in the game, God, but to win.
God, when our money is funny, you've given us the word that declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God, that's a ring. I thank you, Lord God, that when the enemy tries to steal our mind, you said that there, I will give thee perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God, that's a ring in the name of Jesus. God, when the enemy tells us that we've already been defeated, God, and we have the wherewithal to pick one foot up and place it in front of the other, that's a ring. Thank you, Lord God, for every opponent. Thank you for every game, God. Thank you for every playoff season in our lives, God, when the enemy comes to tempt us and to throw us off and to confuse us and to confound us. We can go right back to the playbook. Oh, God, I bless you this morning. We can go back to the playbook, God, and we'll call that a Beverly. Honey, run a Beverly in the name of Jesus. God, the one that says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I thank you, Lord God, that when we get confused or confounded, we can go run a Timothy. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. God, I thank you, Lord God, that we have a play for everything. There's a play for that in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for pastors and teachers. We pray for our scholars and bishops and evangelists in the name of Jesus. God, that you would remind them to remind us of the playbook in the name of Jesus. God, when our marriages are on the rock, we have a playbook for that. Therefore, there is no more one but two that are joined together. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a playbook for all things. God, when the enemy starts to murmur and complain and to pick and to pride, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that the right just run in and they are safe. Lord God, we bless your name this morning. We call you a great God. God, and we infinitely declare and decree that we are champions, God, because there is a playbook for that. God, you said we're joint heirs with you. You call us friends. There's a playbook for that also. And God, as we begin to take our phones off mute, God, we declare and decree that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. God, we declare and decree that you are our righteousness, Jesus. You are our present help in the very time of trouble. God, that if you be for us, who can be against us in the name of Jesus. We call you a great coach. We call you a mighty teacher, God. In the name of Jesus. God, there is none like you. In the name of Jesus. God, we declare and we decree that if you be for us, God, what is the whole world against us? God, we trust you in every area of our life, God. We trust you that whenever we win, oh God. God, we love you.
Thank you, God. bringing me to you, Lord, the situation in which I do. And
Another day to praise you, Lord God. Another day to praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Another opportunity, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that we live the way. win, win again. That we get to see your face, God, in glory. We thank you, Lord God, for the ultimate championship, which is glory. Glory, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name, God.
In that great and wonderful
when I rise,
in that great and wonderful
when I rise,
when I rise, holy Jesus.
When I rise,
when I rise, down in heaven.
When I rise,
when I rise, when I rise, when I
Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to fight alone, God. God, but you've given me relationship, God. Hallelujah, God. God, that a three-strand cord is not easily broken. Oh, God, we bless your name, God. We bless your name that we know without a shadow of a doubt, God, that we don't have to war alone, God. That we were put together to win the game collectively, God. That if one lose, everybody lose, God. That if one get a championship ring, everybody get a championship ring. Oh, God, we bless your name. God, we're playing to win today. God, we're playing to succeed today. God, we're playing to leave legacy today. God, we're playing, oh, God, to make sure we're not in the Hall of Fame, but in the Lamb's Book of Life on this morning. God, we thank you that we play to win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're worthy. Oh, God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Be with us today.
Oh, bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, there's none like you. Oh, yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us and being in our midst, oh God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy God.
We love you.
Oh God, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Praise your mighty and holy name, Lord Jesus. You are King of King and Lord of Lords, Father God. You are the great I am, and there is none like you, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And so, God, we just declare and decree that you are our great coach this morning. God, and we just thank you that you love us enough to teach us how to play. We thank you, Lord God, that you consider us enough to teach us how to play. God, help us to play to win. Help us not to fear our opponent. Help us not to be intimidated by the shadows, God. God, and that every elbow we catch is only a contribution to your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God, I thank you as I pass the call.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise his wonderful name. This is a portion of our call where we transition into love, life, and victory. And we would again like to ask if anybody joined us late for the first time, we'd like to acknowledge you and hear your name. If anybody fits that description, could you speak up now? Moving on.
Good morning.
Anybody
good
that
morning.
Needs to say good morning? Good morning.
That's
Kyle. Good morning. Good morning, Kyle. Anybody else would like
good morning, Andrew. It's me, Steve.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice.
Good morning, Solomon.
Good morning, all. This is me, Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, it's Sister Gloria.
Good morning, Sister
Gloria.
Good
morning, Sister Gloria. Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning.
Good morning, Simone.
Good morning, Mr.
Good morning,
Solomon.
Imani. Good morning, Solomon.
Good morning, Solomon.
Good morning, family. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Morning, morning.
Good morning. It's Bernice.
Happy birthday, Moni.
Morning,
my name is Bernice.
Oh, happy
birthday,
Moni.
Happy
birthday,
Moni.
Moni.
Thank you.
Hello?
Good morning, family. This is Ollie.
Good morning, Ollie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nye Day. Love you all.
Good morning, Nye
Day.
Happy birthday, little sis. If there be no one else that would like to take a morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. We can hear you.
Wrong number.
I'm sorry?
He said wrong number.
He had a wrong number.
Oh, okay. He was coming through very murky anyway. But if there be no one else saying good morning, we will pass the call to Brother Marcus. And we'd like to acknowledge Moni's birthday again. Your 25th birthday is very special, so we just want to say happy birthday.
<Woo-hoo>!
To you,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, sweetie.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, happy 25th, wink, wink. Well, Captain,
praise
God, Marcus.
Happy birthday, Moni, in the middle.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning again. Grateful for what I am not just feeling, but sensing and knowing that everything is good. It's all good, and it's all God. Now, before I open up the floor to discussion, I'm going to do something that I need you all to really pay attention to. Please listen attentively to this, because I had no idea that this had happened last night. So, the missus, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The reporter was talking to Steph Curry at the end of the game, and she said to him, "It's something that happens to you guys in the fourth quarter. What is that?" And Steph Curry told her, he said, "We play harder because we're in it to win it."
Wow. Right, right. And so he basically said that we just don't give up. We just play harder. Right. Did y'all hear that? Are you hearing what? Now here's the thing. I had no idea. I wasn't paying attention to the report after the game was over. As soon as the game was over, I started typing. I wasn't listening to any of that. I just started typing. I started, maybe some say, well, it was in your subconscious. I don't say what you want. But I wasn't paying attention to none of that. So I don't remember any of that stuff. But it's amazing how God speaks through things when your spirit is open and when you're ready to hear it, man. It's like, wow, you know, it becomes more than just a basketball game. It becomes a word of knowledge. It becomes a word of encouragement. I'm telling y'all, I'm telling you, God will speak to you through intesang. Are you hearing me?
That's
my
real.
God, today. That is so real. So, with that, I also want to tell you, and I hope you get this too. I hope you all understand. First of all, I need to find out where Dion is so I can punch her for praying so hard this morning. What in the world? What in the what? I was I was out, man. I almost shouted in the shower. You play too much, Dion. Woo, baby. I tell you the truth. My God. Okay. Whew. That was powerful. Okay. But I got to tell you this. There something came to me as we were doing the collective prayer, and that's this. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a scripture or not, but the thought is that this, a champion is not someone who wins all the time, right? A champion is somebody who still plays like they're going to win, even when it looks like they're losing. That's a champion.
Yeah.
And even if they lose, they still have the belief that the next one, they're going to win. That's the mind of a champion. And I know some of us are saying, well, dang, Marcus, I failed at that. Then I must not be a champion. No, listen. It doesn't mean that a champion is not human. It doesn't mean that a champion doesn't feel things. It doesn't mean a champion doesn't mess up. Because if I had Steph Curry on the line right now, I'm sure he would tell you, hey, I messed up sometimes. I missed some shots, and I didn't lead the team like I was supposed to in sometimes. I've even, gave away the games in some instances. But I'm sure he would also tell you that no matter what, like he said on the call, on the report last night, we just play harder. We just keep playing. We don't let this stuff get to us. And that's the mindset of a champion, is to just keep playing no matter what. Anybody want to share something as we're discussing? Share anything?
Hey, Marcus. You just
yes,
reminded me of that. You reminded me of that Queen song, and yeah, it's secular, but they say we are the champions, my friends. We'll keep on fighting till the end. So that's what a champion never stops fighting. Just keeps on fighting until the victory is won. I just want to share that, and of course, amazing declaration. I'm gonna punch you and Dion on today. Amen.
I'm running. Thank you, TD. Anybody else want to share any thoughts on the declaration or any thoughts on this? Hey, Sis Carolyn.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Brother Marcus. I just have to tap you before I get out of here. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for taking us there, Minister Marcus, and also analyst, sports analyst. I was looking here. I'm like, I got to walk out this room. This is too much, the game. I was like, I can't hang with this. It's recorded. I got to walk out because it was too much hype, and I was too scared for them. But still, they brought it on in. Thank you for breaking that game down like that and comparing it to life. I'm like, oh, God, that is such a blessing. I needed to be reminded today that no matter how dark it is, I need to stay in the game and keep on pushing. Thank you so much. And, yes, Dion took us all the way in. I'm like, wow, hey, y'all, we need to meet up. Amen. So thank you for blessing me, blessing us. Amen.
Marcus.
Amen. I think I heard two people talking. Who was it?
It was me, and I don't know who that was.
Okay, go
Hi,
ahead.
Pamela, I think. I just wanted to say that when Dion was praying, and she was talking about a ring, what it made me think about is if we continue the race, stay in the race, we're going to get our crown. We're going to receive our crown. And that's what it reminded me of. That prayer was just awesome. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Hey, Marcus.
Yeah.
This is Pamela.
Hey, okay,
Marcus,
Pamela.
Mark.
Okay. This morning I wanted to give you guys a praise report about my me getting my wheelchair, my electric wheelchair, so I can be more independent. But now since Dion did that that wonderful blessing to all of us, I want to roll up to her house and roll over her toes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
She
okay.
She gonna need a wheelchair.
Amen.
Dion gonna need a bodyguard in a minute.
You're gonna do a victim.
Yes, she is.
Oh, my Lord Jesus. You know you a victor when you get praying down heaven. You know you a victor.
Brother Mark.
Oh, God.
Can't you just see her rolling over her toes?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I lost it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Marcus.
Okay, okay.
Brother Marcus.
Okay, pull it together. Okay. I can't. All right, go ahead, Tim. I can't.
Listen, man, sometimes I miss the declaration on Fridays, but hearing you this morning, man, you made me want to holler, throw up both my hands, because I'm driving from L.A. to the Bay Area, and when I heard your declaration, brother, pun intended, I heard it through the grapevine.
nice. Okay.
And driving through it, I'm right. It's like I'm driving in a valley. You know, the lowest part of the grapevine that the road goes, and I'm looking at the mountains on both sides. And it just reminded me of this whole conversation you started having about in the valley of the shadow of death, and my signal dropped. But I'm just looking at it, and I was able to snap a picture of it. I'll post it. But going through the valley. But one thing about it, I've come out the valley. So anybody that's going through a valley, you will come out.
Uh-huh. Right. That's good.
Marcus, this is
Diane. That's really good. Hey, Diane.
Thank you for that awesome declaration. The declaration spoke to me in a lot of ways, and I was just reminiscing back over, you know, the prayer call and our lives. And there are many dark places that we have, and you said warring in the dark, even if we don't understand it, when we can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, even if we don't understand why God hasn't answered our prayers right away, even when we're going through and there's death in the family or any situation that we're going through are like dark moments in our lives, and we need to not let the enemy, as you said, get into our head. Because once we let the enemy get into our head, we start hearing voices other than God. And to keep us focused, just because it's in the dark, look beyond the dark and see the light of Christ in our life. And if we keep our eyes focused on Him, those dark moments will pass us, and we won't even recognize when we came out of them. And I just want to thank you for that declaration, because it was awesome, and it was one that was needed. And if we just look over our lives at the dark spots, we can look back at the dark places that we came from and which God brought us from. I love you, brother.
Amen, Diane. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad it encouraged you, and I'm glad it touched you, and I'm glad it affected you that way. Anybody else?
Yes, Brother Marcus.
Yes.
Hi, this is Deborah Yvonne. Thank you so much for your declaration. It was right on point for myself and question everyone else. But the part that stood out for me was when you referred to take time out. Oh, my goodness, that really hit me, because at times in my life, I have to take the time out. I have to get quiet, reassess, and renew my strength in the Lord. So thank you so much.
Hey, yes. Let me, on the heels of what you just said,
let me show you all what I do sometimes, which ain't right, but I do it sometimes. Sometimes when I'm going through something, I'll have a conversation with myself. Anybody else been there? We rehearse or we rehash or we repeat what's going on or we play out the scenario of how we think it's going to turn out. And we argue with the person that we're dealing with, you know, while we're driving or while we, you know, whatever. And we have that conversation. I can't stand this. I'm in it. See, that's why, blah, blah, blah. And we're having this whole conversation. And what we don't realize is we're filling ourselves with more anger or resentment or whatever that is actually defeating us, defeating ourselves in the middle of the issue. Instead of taking a time out and being quiet, I don't know where I read this, but I think somebody posted it, and they were saying how it's important that when you're in the middle of a trial or in the middle of a situation, it's important to be quiet. Don't talk. Don't talk when you're having a test, because a lot of things that you say can turn out to be stuff that you really don't need to repeat or you don't even need to hear yourself. And I just thought I'd bring that out because I think we do that a lot. We have internal conversations. We have outside conversations. We talk defeat to ourselves. We say all this stuff to ourselves. It's our dialogue. It's the things that we say and the things that we internalize as we're going through that defeats us as well. It's not always the enemy on the outside. And, yes, we do need to take a time out. So, as a result, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm taking myself out. After I get off work, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to hang out with me. And I'm going to be me. I'm going to be crazy me today. I'm going to give me some me time. So I hope you all, somebody else who needs that, sometime this weekend, take some time for yourself. Anybody else?
This is Rosilia Rosanna. Excuse me. What stood out for me was when you said how we tell God about our problems. Well, I'm going to do what you said, is that we need to tell our problems about how big our God is.
Right. Right.
Brother Marcus.
Yes.
This is Gail. Good morning. Thank you for the declaration. You are often a glimmer of light for me when you do your declaration. I'm really exhausted this morning. And you really just inspire me just to stay in the game. And if we have to even just go into overtime, if we stick it out, we might still win. If we don't give up at the end and just say, oh, what's the use and this and that, we just stay in there. You never know. Even if you go into double and triple overtime, you still might come out with a victory. So thank you so much. You inspired me. I did a declaration while we've been on this call. Thank you so much.
I heard that. Yeah. And you know what? That overtime thing is amazing. One of the games that they just played recently, I don't know who's seen it, but they were losing. They were behind right up until the last few seconds and hit I think it was a two or a three, and it tied the game just in time to go into overtime. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I was sitting on the couch like, what is going on? And they went into overtime, and still, even in overtime, they were battling back and forth, points, 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 points. And before you know it, by the end of the overtime, the Warriors had won the game. That's sometimes how it works. So true, Diamond Gill.
Hey, Marcus.
Yes, hey.
I said, hey. Honey, I like to stall on you through the phone, but I couldn't reach. But I had tried, trying to sock you in your eye and black it. I wanted to tell you, you just mentioned that it is important to be quiet. Do you remember that conversation? I said, specifically, don't say nothing else about it. Zero. Do you remember that conversation?
Between you and I?
Uh-huh. It was just me and you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
right.
I just wanted to, you know, like a lot of times the enemy will talk junk. I hate when people talk at me. because it means that a response is not required because they've already determined an end result. And so I just wanted to remind everyone, honey, listen, the less you give a thing an opportunity to have wind beneath it, and the wind is our breath, the wind is our words, the wind is our energy, the wind is our thought process, the wind is our mind and the ability to incapacitate it without your knowledge, because you don't even know you played yourself most of the time. And that's why in the basketball games especially, any game technically, they try to get in one another's head. Because if they can get you to stop playing in your mind, you're going to absolutely lose on the field or the court, whatever arena you're in. Every time, you always lose if they can get in your mind. And so the majority of the time, the goal is to get a response. The goal of the enemy is to get a response. Now, you know, the enemy will try you bit by bit. You know, when they're on the court and they swinging them elbows back and forth, they, you know, one trying to gain the upper hand, you see one put a foot in front of the other, and then the other one will take his foot, put it in front of his. It's like they're walking up the court side by side, possibility by possibility. You might win, you might lose, but then they start talking junk. And next thing you know, sometimes there's even a fight on the court. And what happens in that case is you fool around and get a personal foul. Because, you know, now, especially with men, because there's this testosterone thing, there's this what we call in the world a piss contest. And, yeah, I said it, and this is still a prayer call. But it's really what happens. Our egos will provoke us to respond to the enemy when everything does not warrant a response. Everything don't warrant your energy. So I enjoyed you thoroughly. You played us this morning. I just want you to know when I see you again. So long.
Thank you, Dion. Thank you so much. And that is so, so, so true. That's exactly how it is. You know what else I thought about as you were talking, Dion, is that what they also try to get the other teammates, the other team to do is commit fouls. I'm going to let that sink in. They try to get the other team to commit fouls so they can have a reason to call a penalty. Penalty? No, I get to shoot three. I get to shoot free throws now because they hit me or he hit me or he pushed me or whatever. So now I get to you know, shoot some shots now. I'm gonna up my score because you did me wrong. And they try to get you to foul. They try to make you foul. So how about that in our lives? How about there are people or there are situations and the enemy is working to get us to commit fouls so he can call penalties on us and find reasons to either have us in a point where the other opponent gets to shoot more shots or we foul out of the game.
I think
we can't play no more because we fouled.
This is Gail. I think we do that to ourselves with our own minds.
That's true.
When we start thinking about this, that scenario, and all of a sudden you're all confused, and you mess yourself up. So you're causing yourself to commit to do the own fouls against yourself by overworking your mind with negative thoughts instead of just like Dion said and you said, just be quiet and calm yourself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, Bruce,
remind
you know, hello?
Oh. Go ahead. Go ahead. So who is the young lady speaking up?
Juliet.
Okay, so go ahead, Tim, and then Juliet.
Okay, I was going to say, that's I know a situation right now going on what I think that was Gail was just talking, that a situation that seems like it's leading to divorce. But a person says, well, I know if I do this, so-and-so going to do that. So I'm going to do this because I want them to do that. And that's what we're talking about, setting somebody else up to foul. And one said, well, I know that. I know them so well. I know that if I do this, I know what they're going to do. They always do this. Every time I do this, they always do that. So my comment is that, well, not necessarily. Don't get too cocky with that, because now the person is doing some things that are different, unexpected. And sometimes we got to be aware of that, that if we think we're going to set somebody up, which is going to tempt them to foul, we are also setting ourselves up, because when they don't do that thing we expect them to do because of what you just did, and they do something different, then you all messed up. So we can't assume that we can always get that person to foul, like we may try to. In fact, I say stay away from it. Don't try to tempt them to do something that we think that we can get them to do. You know how it is. People argue, fuss, and fight. You know, if you do this, somebody going to do that, because they do it all the time. But you're doing it on purpose, because you've already, like Deion says, you've already thought about the end result. You've already got a plan in place, and you're trying to get that person all stumbled up. It ain't good. Let's get right. That's
yeah.
That's all I need.
That's good, Tim. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, hello?
Marcus,
yes,
hello?
Go ahead, Juliet.
Well, I was just thinking sometimes, you know how they talk about people causing people to foul. I don't know the game that well, but, people, the enemy sends people like that in the beginning stages of your life sometimes, that, you know, they say things or speak something, things into your spirit, and before you know it, you know, they don't have to do anything, you know, like I think Gail was saying, you get confused, you step back, and they step back, and you start messing up because you're saying those type of things to yourself. And just recently, that's why this decoration was just so on time. I'm sitting there thinking, and these negative thoughts I kept saying about myself, and then, you know, I stepped back, finally got quiet, because I heard somebody say a while back, it might have been Deion, you got to think about what you're thinking. And I never, you know, you just think, you have millions of words and thoughts going through your mind all the time, and you never sometimes sit back and just think about it, and it was like a pause moment. And I was like, wow. It's like you don't need nobody to speak to you. You speak it to yourself. You speak it negative and stuff, doubts about yourself. And so this thing was so on time because number two, as far as, you know, don't let the enemy come into your head. For the follow-up is because, and you said something on the listening to the coach, because if you let the enemy get into your head, then you cannot hear the coach. The coach could be speaking all this affirmation to you, but you don't hear it because you're still focusing on the person that was trying to cause you to foul, and you've allowed that to sink into your spirit, and now you're walking it out. So I just want to thank you for that decoration once again.
Bless you. No problem. Amen. I'm glad it blessed you. Amen. What, there was someone else trying to speak up just a minute ago?
Yeah, Marcus, this is Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
That declaration was off the chain, and I really can identify with it because my mom and I, we watch a lot of games too, and she gets so into it. When you were talking about how your mother goes off at the TV, it reminds me so much of my mom. But when they were talking about how the enemy will try to get you to file out, it really made me think about how, you know, sometimes you know, we can start self-sabotaging ourselves. You know, it's like the enemy will get so much into our head that we'll begin to self-sabotage. But the scripture that earlier you were talking about, you know, you were trying to figure out what scripture and stuff it was pertaining to, when it was talking about how you were saying how, you know, we need to not give up, and we need to continue to participate in the game. You know, whether we win or lose, we still got to give it our all. And it made me think of Corinthians 9:23 and 24, 1 Corinthians, and it was talking about how, you know, all the runners are running the race, and even though, you know, there's only going to be one winner, you still got to run the race like you're going to win. You know, you still got to, you know, train, prepare, you know, run that race like you're going to finish the race. And so I enjoyed your declaration. It just really, you know, made me really think about a lot of different things. I appreciate you, and thank you so much for the declaration.
Absolutely.
Hey,
thank you. Hey.
Hey, it's Cindy. Good morning. Thank you so much. That was an excellent declaration. I'm a basketball fanatic, so you really had my attention. I just thought about, as everyone was talking, I'm a very poor sport when it comes to games and, you know, things like that. If I'm losing, I'll just stop playing. I remember playing, I used to play basketball and playing one-on-one basketball with somebody. If they start winning, I'll just drop out. Oh, I don't want to play no more. But I just thank you for the reminder this morning that we have to stay in the game and have the mind of a champion and, you know, play to win and know that God is on our side. God is coaching us. God is bringing us through. So I just that just stuck with me. Just stay in the game and have the mind of a champion. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you. Hey, Didi.
Cindy just triggered something. I was really going to not say nothing the rest of the call because my throat a little sore, but my son has played ball since he was born, so I am the biggest basketball fanatic. And when they were 23 points behind, I was like, ooh, you know, you get that it, and I can relate to the missus because it's like I ain't watching. And when my son was playing, when a game would be close like that, I was the team mom, but I would abandon the snack bar because I couldn't watch the last, you know, that press point. I'd be out in the hallway because I didn't want to hear it, and I would just listen to the crowd. I could tell if we were winning or if we were losing or what happened. But I've gotten, I've got a little reputation, so some of the reps in the Bay Area, when they see me coming, they're like, what are you doing here? Because I've even gotten ejected from a few games, and it wasn't because I was going to say anything wrong, but it's like if you're not calling the calls right, you don't need to go to Foot Locker and go work over there because, you know what I mean? You blow that whistle right,
yeah.
Quit calling these little bogus fouls. So, Lady Cindy, we need to go to the game together. I just want to say that. But it is, it's such a passionate thing. It's like it'll give you – you're not supposed to be that into a game. I get it. But sometimes you get caught up. So, you know, I'm glad nobody is really playing right now, so I haven't gotten ejected from a game in about 4 years. So if anybody need me to come, Ruth ain't out on. Hit me up.
You all need rehab, okay?
Wow. But you know what is so exciting about that part is this. What makes the game so exciting is when you see somebody looking like they're going to lose, and out of nowhere, they just come right back and win it. That's what, I mean, it's those games that keep you wanting to come back for more. Think about movies that we watch. You know, think about how the greatest movies are those that look like, oh, no, there is no way you're getting out of that. And by the time it comes to the end, you're in tears because you're like, wow, how did that happen? You know, the greatest love stories, when you read, it seems like it's all just falling apart. They're never going to make it. They're never going to come back together. And then you see them, you know, you follow the story later, and to see that now they're here and there, and they're doing well, and they're successful, and their kids, and da-da-da-da-da. Those are the greatest stories, those that have comebacks.
Marcus.
That come from a losing position. Go ahead, yes.
Marcus, but you, like you said, Bishop Curry, babe, you got to know he's going to bring it home. He's going to bring it home.
That's right. That's right.
Bishop
Marcus,
Curry.
That's it. And he always has a face that looks unaffected, like, okay. Well,
You know,
and it's so great. I love that. They keep what's called a flint, you know, the stone flint that it doesn't change because of the way things are. I don't care. Okay, you made a three. And?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Anybody else want to share anything?
Brother Mark.
That's.
Okay, so I heard, was that Eric, and then someone else was getting ready to speak?
Yeah, I'll go after Eric.
Okay.
Brother Mark, the spirit of Jeremiah to come upon me, and I'm prophesying. First of all, I do not stand in agreement with the declaration. Did not receive it. Let me say this. Bishop Curry is a false prophet. And So then the wooden state warriors are tribal right now. They shall fall at the walls of Jericho. I promise you.
Oh, Jesus.
Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Right. Now, you know, just like Jeremiah, y'all might not understand the truth, but seriously, besides all the wood state warriors, it was a great declaration. What I got out of it is this. When you said players listen to the coach, we have to understand that that when we are a team, God the Father, the owner, has already set the agenda that the team should win. And the coach drafts the players, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he leaves it to the Holy Spirit, the general manager, to begin to draw the players. So the team was already assembled. And so as we play, we've got to listen to the coach. Because the coach has already studied the team. Because the enemy comes to us in a multiplicity of ways. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to our understanding, but on all the ways acknowledge that he shall direct our path. If you watch the game, a lot of times when the players are, when the team is losing everything, the coaches already have the strategy in his hand, and he continues to make adjustments as the game goes. The coach is like, don't worry about, you know, the whole picture. I got the whole picture. All I need you to do is go out and play and play the play that you are. As I look at the whole game and how everybody plays, I will give you the strategy. So all we have to do is go out there and play. That's all the coach requires us, play and play to the best of our abilities. And we have to know this also, that everybody has been given an ability and everybody has been given a role. You need not start. But you are a professional player, and you are required to play or to have some part of the game, whether even it's just cheering right now. But players do not sit on the bench. That is not the desire to sit on the bench. That should not be our desire. We have to, like you said before, play to win. We also have to have the desire to get in the game. To sit on the bench right now disqualifies you as a player. I just wanted to say that, and that's what I got out of it. Thank you for a great declaration, and go Knicks.
Well spoken. Thank you, Brother Eric. I appreciate that, all of it. Amen. There was one more person wanted to speak up.
Yeah, this is Gail. In the game of life, we can't let our opponent see us sweat. Like with my battle with cancer, if I had given up in doing any phase, I wouldn't be here because God is my coach, and I listen to him saying, trust me, I will heal you. I stayed in the game, and I'm still here 15 years later, and I praise God for that. We can get so much out of these declarations, no matter how we joke about it, what we use. I don't like sports. I don't watch sports. But I still got something out of this declaration. If we open our hearts and our minds, we will get something out of every declaration that's done. Thank you for your encouragement.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's absolutely it. And I want to say this.
Marcus?
Real quick, one thing I want to piggyback on what Diamond Gale just said is that it's important to know why God is the coach and we are not. Imagine if we were the coaches. Imagine if we were running the team, some of us. Well, us, period. I mean, there's a reason that God is the coach and we're not. The coach can see some things that we can't see. See, we're in the game playing, but the coach is standing from that sideline watching. He also has experience from previous before, you know, and so he's watching the game from a different perspective. It's funny how my mom and I were watching the game. And, you know, she was seeing people make mistakes and missing shots and stuff. And she was like, you go sit down. You know, Steph Curry, you go sit down. Draymond, go sit down. You know, I was saying to my mom, man, Mom, if you was coaching, there would only be three players in the game. And they show never lose. But then I thought about how we are. We're just like that. You know, if we were coaching, we would really move things around. And sometimes we've done that. We've stepped into our own game and try to strategically move things the way we think they should go, you know, and messed up the whole thing and had to go back to God anyway. So remember, there's a reason why God is the coach and we're not. Go ahead. Who wanted to speak?
Monty, good morning. Thank you for your declaration. I missed some of it. But I wanted to say it's not over until God says it's over. Just like with Abraham sacrificing his son. That was at the bare minute. But God said it wasn't over. And I saw something on Facebook where there was a cheetah and a hyena and like a deer. And I think the cheetah went and tackled that deer. And it looks like that deer was going to die and was in despair. But then the hyena came and distracted the cheetah. So the hyena came and ran after the cheetah, and that deer got up and ran. But it looked like it was over. But it's not over till God says it's over.
Right.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Amen, amen. Well, I don't have anything else unless somebody else has something they want to share as we're preparing to close out the call. If not, I want to remind you all about Friday Night Live tonight. Don't forget to call in. Same number, same pin, right? Everything is still the same, right?
Yep.
6 p.m. tonight. 6 p.m. Be on the call tonight. I'm going to get I'm going to try my best to be on the call tonight because I want to hear what my sister got to say. Friday Night Live, y'all don't miss it, and we'll see you all, if not tonight, we'll not see you all, but we'll hear you all, if not tonight, tomorrow morning, same bat time, same bat station. Bless you all. Have a great day and a great weekend, and love you.
Be blessed.
Oh, Bishop Curry.
Yes. Whatever.